We started that service. I wasn't quite sure how that was going to play, actually giving Kim a water pistol. But I'm so glad for that. That was one of those scenes in the Bible where the disciples discover something about this Jesus. After he calms the storm, after he restores order and coherence to their universe, they're simultaneously baffled and impressed. They're simultaneously befuddled and inspired by this Jesus. There are, of course, other water narratives in the Bible. Can you name any of them? How about the oldest story in all of Scripture, the great Genesis narrative? Do you remember the first lines? We think about "let there be light," but there's this Spirit of God that broods or moves or somehow moves over the face of the deep. Later on in Exodus, what happens then? They're liberated from their captors. They're set free from their slavery and their bondage in Egypt, only to come face to face with water. And what? How do they get through it? How do they get across? Moses has to hold up his staff, and finally they make their way through, and even as they're pursued by all Pharaoh's chariots and horses, they're drowned in the sea behind them. And then Moses' friends, we read it, Moses' friends and those who would accompany him out in the wilderness moan and complain, these whining wanderers, sure that Moses has dragged them out there into the desert places so that they'll die of thirst. So the Lord directs him to the stone, stands on the rock, and he hits it hard with his stick, and out comes this fluid. Well, Jonah and the whale. How about Jesus in Jerusalem at the pool in Siloam? Everywhere you look, there are stories of water. The Bible may be the wettest book in the whole of the library. And it strikes me that we probably forget that. That it comes from a time and a place, it comes from a part of the human story that is so utterly bereft of water. No wonder the Bible is so eager to put water in front of us, because their land was dry, it was empty and desiccated, and everybody was thirsty all the time. No wonder. No wonder water would be such an important sign of God's presence and God's purpose and God's plan. Just like a light in a world with no electricity. Just like food in a world where there's no promise of fertility. Just like music in a world where there is no one with ears to hear it. The lesson for today is John chapter 4, and it's about 50 verses long. And I thought about reading the whole thing, but then we'd have to wake you up with more squirt bottles of water. It is wonderful text, and read it. Go home and open the Bible. There is this wonderful exchange there. It is a woman at a well. It is a foreign woman at a well. It is a foreign refugee woman at a well. It is a foreign refugee woman at a well all alone. It is a foreign refugee woman at a well all alone at the wrong time of day. It is a foreign refugee woman at a well all alone at the wrong time of day who's been married so many times. And the woman she lives with now is not her husband. She encounters Jesus, or rather Jesus encounters her as you read it, because he showed up first, like all the best stories in the Bible. Jesus sees her and speaks to her and treats her like a human being. Now, I have to make a true confession. I grew up hearing this story about this person at the well looking down my nose. It's one of those times I get to play my superior church dance, right? Because this woman obviously is there and she's out of place and doesn't belong. Not only that, look at her history. Look where she's been. She surely must have moral problems, right? That she was there maybe somehow lacking scruples or sexual integrity or whatever it was. Oh my, look at her story. But the older I get, the more I realize that that finger that I'm pointing is really pointed right here, that the prejudice is mine, that the moralism is mine, that the judgmentalism is mine, because I haven't read the text. I haven't read the Bible and seen what it's actually trying to tell me about this person and why she's there. For to be without a husband was to be dangerously vulnerable, where only men had the real power. Widows and all those who were dismissed by their husbands suffered all kinds of abuse. They were impoverished and exploited. They were passed around like property from one owner to another. She's alone. Think about that. She's been abandoned. She's been neglected and forgotten by her community. Played like a card in a game. Now she's just been flipped into the discard pile. And she's the one. She's the one that Jesus finds. There is this conversation at the well, and at first she thinks, and we think, it's a story about water. You know, here's just one more man demanding from a woman something to drink. But then it moves to this very interesting place. We tend to think literally, too, about it all. Do you happen to know what the average household daily use of a family in the United States, how much water do they go through? I looked it up on the internet. 400 gallons. Now, of course, that's not only in the bathroom, but that's all the water it takes to do all the things that we do. And most of us wish there was less of it. In the last few days especially. Amy came early to set up for communion, and we realized that the water table around where we're sitting now is now up to, it's less than an inch from the floor below your feet. So we're floating on water. Do you know how much water gets used in Somalia? It's about 1/100th of that amount. We think we understand water. We have science. We know where it is. We know that it's made up of two molecules of hydrogen and one of oxygen. We're so smart. We know that water is all over the place, all over our solar system, and surely all over the universe, all kinds of water. And some of it is even in liquid form. But was that what the conversation was really about? What did the woman want from Jesus? Was it water? What did the woman need from Jesus? Was it water? He talked about living water, water of life. And what she got was an encounter with God, dynamic and transforming, a little scary, powerful water, risky water, water likely to change things. Maybe she discovered, like the disciples discovered, that water can wash us and water can wound us. Water can deliver us and water can drown us. Water can clean us, wow, and water can kill us. An encounter with God, a brush with living water. I suppose we ought to buckle our seat belts because maybe this same water will take us to places that we didn't expect. Maybe this same living water will change things in ways that we didn't ask for. Could turn our world upside down. It was the week after St. Patrick's Day, and there was a clergy conference being held in Ireland. And during one of the breaks, several of the ministers decided they would go for a little hike and kind of explore things in the countryside, all this beautiful green to see. And so they went about and they came to a river and they noticed, oh good, there's a bridge over this waterway. And what they didn't notice was all the signs, all the warning signs that this was really a temporary fixture because it was under repair. So they head over anyway, talking to themselves about all these high-minded things. And as they get halfway over the bridge, and they start to hear someone shouting almost hysterically at them as if they're warning them. So the leader of the group says, oh gosh, don't worry, it's all right. We're Presbyterians from the conference. Oh, I don't care what your denomination is. I want you to get off that bridge or you're all going to become Baptists. So you have to... Okay. Well, later on in chapter 4, that rich, wonderful, wet chapter of God's good gospel, John reports that Jesus' conversation with the women was interrupted by the men, by those disciples. John says that they were astonished that he was talking to a woman. It says that she left her water jar and went back to the city and said to them, "Come and see the man who told me everything." So she left behind her vessel. She left behind her container, her old water, and went back. Went back filled with something else. This new water, this living water, this liquid presence of God in Jesus Christ. This stranger had been made now a member of the community again. This woman who had been a lonely sister was now part of the family again. This one who had been made weary and excluded, this one who was marginalized and scorned and discarded, isolated, wasn't anymore. In fact, she was alive. She had been raised from the dead, raised by living water, by wild water, by water of mercy and life. I thought about sending Kim around again with his squirt bottle, but do you know? Do you know what kind of water surrounds you today? Living water in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.